For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God.
Let's just pray as we come to this word. Father, we thank you for Jesus, and please give each and every one of us here this morning, from the youngest to the oldest, a fresh sense of the wonder of the gospel. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what is the best Christmas present you have ever received? I'm sure the youngsters this morning have just received some brilliant presents. But what about you adults as you look back? What were the best presents of the years as you look back? I don't know what they may be. I was looking back at my own life. And I think it was a bike, funnily enough. I don't like bikes much, but I got one. I'm absolutely delighted with it. An Eddie Merckx yellow racer. I went on to the internet to look for some of the more kind of expensive and spectacular Christmas gifts that have been given over the years. I found a great web article, 10 outrageously expensive gifts celebrities gave as Christmas presents. The standout one for me was given by Mike Tyson. Anyone remember Mike Tyson, the boxer, Iron Mike? I didn't have him down as a kind of tender gift giver. But lovingly, one Christmas, he gave his then-wife, Robin Givens, a 24-carat gold bathtub. £1.5 million for this tub. Anyone here got a bath for Christmas? It won't be anything like that. A very, very expensive gift at Christmas. Well, back in the real world, gifts come, don't they, in all sorts of size and shapes. What is the best gift you have ever received? Well, this morning, we are going to take a few moments to think about the Christmas gift, the greatest ever gift. It was, of course, a gift given by God. You see, right at the heart of the universe, behind the universe, ruling over the universe, is the true and living God, who is a generous God. A God who gives gifts. At the heart of the universe is a giving, generous God. And the most wonderful gift, the original gift of Christmas, is the giving of the Son of God. That first verse that we just had read to us a few moments ago by Maria, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And the word giving or gave is used an awful lot in John's Gospel. Because God is a giving God. And here we have this supreme gift of God, the giving of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, of course, came willingly. He was sent, he was given, but as God himself, he came willingly into this world. But the sense here that wants to be emphasized by John is the giving of Jesus Christ, a gift of God the Father. I'm just going to spend just a very few moments this morning, and I hope all can listen in, from the youngest to the oldest, to spend a few moments thinking about this amazing gift of the Son. First of all, we're going to think, well, why did God give us his Son? What's the motive for the gift? We know, don't we, the gifts can come with various reasons. Maybe there's a conversation in your house went something along the lines, who do we have to buy presents for? Ever heard a conversation like that? Who do we have to buy presents for? What's behind that question? It's buying as a sense of duty. We've got to buy presents. Who have we got to buy for? And there may be love, but there's a kind of sense of duty. There are other reasons, aren't there, to give Christmas gifts. Why, I don't know. But every year, a local firm of undertakers gives me a calendar. I don't want it. I don't need it. But every year, they give me a calendar. What do you think is behind that Christmas gift? It's so I do introduce them in talks. It's so that they are on my mind. Their name is in front of me, and they are of any fine firm, and I would use them. But every Christmas, they just give me a little reminder that they are there. I know what's behind their gift, and they know that I know what's behind their gift, but they give the gift anyways. What's behind God's gift of the Son? Well, the verse tells us, doesn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Now, we can speak about the love of God in a number of ways. Even in John's Gospel, we hear about the way that God loves the Son. We hear about the way that God loves his special people. But here it speaks of God loving the world. God loves the world. Who is the world? What does it mean when John says, for God so loved the world? What does it mean by world? Is it saying that kind of God loves, you know, nature and the mountains and, you know, that kind of environment? I don't think that's what it's saying at all. The world in God, in John's gospel, is humanity in rebellion against God. The dark world, the rebellious world, the sinful world. God loves the world, the mass of humanity in sin and under condemnation. It's a staggering thought. For God so loved sinful humanity, rebellious humanity, that he gave his one and only Son. And we could just pause at this moment and so for me to say to you, whoever you are, whatever you have done, whatever background you have as you come here this morning, we can say God loves you. The true and living God is concerned for you as he is for me. And let's just make this personal. For God so loved, and I want you to put your own name in there. For God so loved Greg Strain that he sent his one and only Son. For God so loved, put your name in there, that he sent his one and only Son. So behind the gift is the love of God. Second question, what sort of gift is this? There are some useless gifts out there, aren't there? Let's face it. Who needs a bath made out of gold? Who wants a bath made out of gold? Clothes that you never wear and never would wear are given. There are gadgets that have no use and will never be used. The websites are clogged up with useless gifts, and eBay will be full of them by tonight, I suspect. Useless gifts. But what about the gift of the Son? What does he do? If I can put it reverently, what use is he? What is the point of the gift? Is it just a demonstration of love, or is there a purpose in the gift?
Well, verse 17 and 16, of course, all these verses point to that. Verse 17, let me read it to you again. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. But why did he come? But to save the world. He came to save. A gift that was given. A gift who would save. And these verses, if you're listening carefully, use a number of concepts to speak about what we need saving from. On one side, it speaks of perishing and condemnation. On the other side, it speaks of eternal life and salvation. It speaks of the world being in a desperate situation, perishing and under condemnation. Now you think that's not very cheerful to be saying on Christmas morning to tell us that the world is perishing and is under condemnation. But until we appreciate the problem, until we appreciate what we need saving from, we will have no appreciation of the gift and the Savior. And these verses make it absolutely clear that without Jesus Christ, a person is under condemnation, is perishing. Have you ever seen a condemned house? I used to live in one, actually, when I was a student. And it was cold, it was rotting, no one should have been there, really. And it had to go. And if you condemn the house, you really shouldn't have anyone. It's perishing, it is rotting, and there's a kind of, it's been declared to be condemned. It will be destroyed. And that's how we are described, as perishing and to be destroyed. We may feel well, we may enjoy Christmas, but it actually speaks of our state as being under condemnation. And Jesus Christ comes into this world to save us by his death and his resurrection from that state, so that we are forgiven and brought into a right relationship with God and will live with him forever. Just try to get our heads around. Let's try and get our heads around the size and the wonder of this gift. Imagine this morning that someone had given you a bottle as a gift. Take one spoonful and you would be better. Imagine, for all of us who are sick or have something wrong, one spoonful curing us. Imagine you were in debt this morning and you received a gift that wiped out all of your debts and gave you enough money for a lifetime. How would you feel with either of those gifts? You would say, this is absolutely amazing. Multiply that by a thousand of the gift that is in Jesus Christ. As a bigger debt is cancelled and you are given what you need for eternity, as you are given not physical life here, but eternal life that you will enjoy forever. That is the measure of this gift that we have in Jesus Christ, eternal life. He came to save us from condemnation and to give us this life that we might not perish, but have eternal life. Third and final question. We've thought about what was behind the gift, the love of God. We've thought about what the gift does, the person of Jesus Christ. He comes to save and to give us eternal life. How does this gift become mine? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The gift comes through believing, by believing in Jesus Christ. A number of years ago, I was talking to a friend of mine who is a minister up in Oswestry, and the various churches in Oswestry put up a balloon, I think it was around Christmas time, with the message, God loves you. That was the message to Oswestry, and that's true as far as it goes. But it's not enough to say that. God loves you and he gave us his Son, is what needs to be said. But if that is to be of use, if that is, say, salvation is to become a person's, there needs to be a believing, a personal response to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not automatically become ours. We have to respond. And we just need to think about this, because we need to ask the question, who is this open to? Who can have Jesus? Who can believe in him? Who can receive this wonderful eternal life? Well, the verse tells us that whoever believes. And actually, just to drive that point home, it's where this sits in John's gospel is very, very striking. Prior to these words, Jesus had been speaking with a very religious man, Nicodemus. In the verses that follow this, he will speak to a Samaritan woman with a history. The wrong person with a bad background. The religious man needs to know that his religion will not get him in, and he needs to be born again and needs to come to faith in Jesus. And the Samaritan woman needs to know that her sins and her background will not keep her out. Salvation can be hers. The best of us need to believe, and the worst of us can believe and be saved. The best of us need it, and for the worst of it, it's open to us. Whoever, open to all, needed by all. Whoever. So no matter who you are, what might hold you back from believing? I don't know if you noticed as Maria was reading, this is a passage which mentions love twice. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. But there's another love there, if you want to follow on the sheets, in verse 19. God has come into this world in Jesus Christ in love. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness. Another love. Jesus is, and this word of God here is reminding us that what holds people back from believing in Christ is a love of darkness, so that people want to stay in the dark, and the verse tells us, because their deeds were evil. There's a sense in people don't want to come to Jesus Christ and believe and to receive their salvation because of what they're doing, the way they're living, and their rebellion and their sin. And they say, no, I want to stay here in my sin, thank you very much. I don't want to come to the light. And Jesus says, no. No, that's why that happens. Come out to the light. Come to Jesus, turn from your sin, acknowledge what you're doing is wrong, and come to Jesus and receive this wonderful salvation. Don't stay in unbelief because of your love of darkness. Come out to Jesus. And how do I receive that eternal life? We believe in him. What does that mean, to believe in Jesus? Well, we recognize that we are condemned. We recognize that we are rebels. We come to the light, which means willing to turn from our rebellion, our wrong behavior, our wrong ways of thinking. We acknowledge those and we look at Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and we say, I cannot save myself. Jesus Christ, you are the Savior. You are God's gift. I believe in you. I put my trust in you. I cannot save myself. We look at him and take hold of him and believe in him as Savior. And as we do that, we pass over from life, from death to life, and receive his glorious and wonderful salvation. I asked you at the beginning what was the best Christmas gift that you had ever received. If you have not yet received it through believing in Jesus Christ, you could leave here this morning, if you have not yet done so, with the greatest gift Jesus Christ and the salvation that is in him. That will be a great Christmas morning. And if you are already looking at him and have already received him and have already believed in him, it's wonderful you're here to give thanks to God for his amazing love for you, to thank him for the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, to thank him that by his Spirit he has opened your eyes so that you believe, and to thank him that you have moved from a position of being under condemnation, a position of spiritual perishing, now to a place where your sins have been forgiven, you have been given eternal life, and you will enjoy that forever. Our hearts sing, don't they? And give thanks for this amazing gift. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the amazing gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your love. And we thank you that salvation is not complicated. It simply comes by turning from our sin and believing and trusting in Jesus. And that as we do so, you give us new life. This is amazing. We pray for any here who have not yet put their trust and ask that you would grant repentance and faith. And would you again this Christmas fill our hearts with joy and gratitude for the greatest gift, Jesus, your only Son. And we thank you in his name. Amen.